Welcome to the Sermon Podcast of Christian author and speaker, Troy Black. We're praying that, as you listen, God will reveal His love, grace, and truth to you in a deeper way. After listening, don't forget to connect with Troy on YouTube and Facebook. May this message from Troy inspire you in your walk with Christ.
Hey y'all, this is Troy Black. So I have this word that I believe is a very powerful word that the Holy Spirit has given me to share with you today. So stick around and I'm going to share with you what that word is. So the word that I believe that the Lord has given me to share with you is this, that God wants to pour out His Spirit upon His people during this time. And the Lord actually brought to my memory this week this metaphor in Scripture. It's basically an illustration of God pouring out His Spirit that He showed me one time, and I want to share that with you. So there was this one day where I was praying to God, and I was saying, God, please speak to me, speak to my heart. What are you saying right now? I want to hear from you. And the Holy Spirit said, I want you to read 2 Kings chapter 2. And so I was like so excited. I got out my Bible here, you know, and I started, I opened it up to 2 Kings chapter 2. I started reading, and I found that it's the story of the prophet Elijah getting taken up to heaven, and Elisha, his successor, getting to see him ascending to heaven. And so I read through this whole chapter, I get to the end of reading it, and I'm just sitting there like thinking, yeah, I got nothing, right? Like, if I was supposed to hear something from you, Lord, I didn't, you know, I read this before, I knew the story, I didn't get anything. And in that moment, the Holy Spirit spoke to my heart again, and He said, read it again, this time think about the cross. Think about Jesus. And so I said, okay. So I opened it up. I started reading again. And suddenly I just started getting all of these pictures, all of these illustrations, and these metaphors and these parallels between the story of Jesus dying on the cross and ascending to heaven and the story of Elijah getting taken up. So I want to share with you those parallels today. So 2 Kings chapter 2 actually starts with Elijah preparing to leave. He knows that God is going to take him up. And there's a few places that he goes, and his student, Elisha, who's been following him around and helping him, and is basically an assistant, but watching Elijah do all these miracles and do all these wonderful works for God, he's following Elijah, and Elijah keeps telling him, no, stay here. God's going to take me. But Elisha won't have anything to do with that. You know, he wants to stay with his mentor, his spiritual father, in a sense, till the very last minute. And they go to a few places. They start out at Gilgal. And Elijah tells him, stay here, and I'm going to go on to Bethel. And Elisha says, no, and he follows him to Bethel. And then at Bethel, he says, again, stay here, I'm going to go to Jericho. And Elisha says, no, I'm coming with you. And he comes with him to Jericho. And then again, Elijah says, stay in Jericho, I'm going to go to the Jordan River. God is calling me there. And Elisha says, no, I'm going there, I'm following you. And so they end up at the bank of the Jordan River, and that's where I'm going to start reading. So 2 Kings chapter 2, verse 8 says, Elijah took his mantle and folded it together and struck the waters, and that's the Jordan River. And they were divided here and there so that the two of them crossed over on dry ground. When they had crossed over, Elijah said to Elisha, ask what I shall do for you before I am taken from you. And Elisha said, please let a double portion of your spirit be upon me. He said, you have asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if you see me when I am taken from you, it shall be so for you. But if not, it shall not be so. And they were going along and talking. Behold, there appeared a chariot of fire and horses of fire, which separated the two of them. And Elijah went up by a whirlwind to heaven. Elisha saw it and cried out, my father, the chariots of Israel and its horsemen. And he saw Elijah no more. Then he took hold of his own clothes and he tore them in two pieces. He also took up the mantle of Elijah that fell from him and returned and stood by the bank of the Jordan. He took the mantle of Elijah that fell from him and struck the waters and said, where is the Lord, the God of Elijah? And when he also had struck the waters, they were divided here and there, and Elisha crossed over. So this is a pretty amazing passage where Elijah performs his last miracle, dividing the Jordan River by striking it with his mantle. And then suddenly Elisha gets to see, you know, Elisha's asked this question, what can I do for you? And he says, I want a double portion of your spirit. And Elijah responds by saying, and the reason he responds this way is because this was not something that was his to grant. It was something that he's basically telling Elisha, if you see me when I'm leaving, when I'm going away, I don't know if he knew he's going to ascend or not. But he says, if you see me, then that means that God is saying that he's granting your request. He's giving you a double portion of the spirit that's been upon me this whole time. And so Elisha sees him ascend into heaven. And there's a couple interesting things here that I want to point out. And the first one is, I think a lot of times when this story is told, it's assumed that Elijah goes to heaven in a chariot of fire. And that was what I was taught when I was a kid in Sunday school. They would have these pictures of Elijah, you know, getting on this aboard this chariot of fire, going up to heaven. And it actually, one thing that stuck out to me this time when I was reading it was that it doesn't say that he goes to heaven inside of a chariot of fire. It actually says that a wall of fire and a chariot of fire separates Elijah and Elisha. So that's important. That's critical. I'm going to get back to that in a minute. But then it actually says that a whirlwind takes him up to heaven. So the first thing that stands out to me is the fact that the same way that Elisha ascends to heaven, he's obviously inside of a whirlwind, but he's ascending to heaven. Jesus, after he died on the cross and rose again, he ascended to heaven in plain sight of his followers, of those who were following him. And what's interesting is the fact that I didn't read this part, but before this, there's actually prophets of God inside of the cities that they visit, and they come out and the prophets are telling Elisha, do you know that God's going to take your master from you today? And Elisha's telling them, yes, I know. Stop reminding me, basically. But these prophets probably had the same view of Elijah leaving that the disciples had of Jesus leaving. You know, after that, I bet they were wondering, like, man, it would have been better if Jesus had stayed here, right? Like that, why did he have to leave all of a sudden after he, rises from the dead? But I'm going to get to the answer to that in a second. And that's the first parallel I saw in this story is the fact that this man of God, Elijah, this prophet of God, and the Son of God, they both had to leave. It was their time to go, and that they both ascended to heaven. That was the way that they left. And then another interesting thing that stands out to me is the fact that Elisha actually, when Elijah leaves, Elisha actually tears his clothes, and it says specifically into two pieces. And I think that's very important because normally, you know, when someone tore their clothes in the Old Testament, it was a sign of mourning. It was a sign of repentance a lot of times. It was a sign of weeping, of crying out, and it was this physical sign of what was happening on the inside of someone's heart. But here's the cool thing. Usually it says that they tore their clothes. And in this instance, it says he tore his clothes specifically into two pieces. And here's the second parallel. When Jesus died on the cross, there was a veil in the temple, this huge, thick cloth that was so thick and so tall and heavy and intricately made. And the Spirit of God ripped that veil in two pieces, it says, from top to bottom. And when the veil was ripped, the Spirit of God came out of the temple. Here's what's so cool about that, is the fact that the Spirit of God coming out of the temple, the Bible talks about how when the Spirit left the temple, the Holy of Holies, God's Spirit actually rested in the hearts of believers. So Jesus, when he died, and then when he went up to heaven, there was a reason behind him leaving, and it was because when he died, he won our right to have fellowship with God, our right to be filled with God's Spirit. Because when we believe on Jesus, we have the righteousness of God through faith. And because of that, we can come boldly into his presence. We can hear from the Holy Spirit directly. We can be friends with God, something that we could never have done through our own righteousness. But what's so amazing is that not only do we have that opportunity, but God also sent an anointing so that we could receive the Spirit. And that happened at the day of Pentecost. So when the Spirit left the temple, we see the manifestation of the Spirit entering the lives of believers on the day of Pentecost. And he actually comes as tongues of fire. That's how they see the Spirit represented on the day of Pentecost. When he anoints all of these followers of Jesus, and they begin to go out and do these mighty works of God, and they begin to get people saved. And so going back to the story of Elijah and Elisha, I honestly believe a lot of the time We see the mantle. You know, it talks a lot about this mantle a lot, and I believe we see the mantle as the anointing, basically, as the authority. The mantle is a representation of Elisha's authority that he received from Elijah, but it's a representation of this position of leadership more so than it is the actual anointing. And I'm going to show you that real clearly here. The mantle was basically a sleeveless outer garment that Elijah would wear. And obviously he used it to perform a miracle. And then after he leaves, Elisha also uses it to perform a miracle. But here's the point I want to make. If Elisha had not seen Elijah when he left, he would not have received the same anointing, even though he received the same mantle. Elijah said, he said, the qualification for you to receive a double portion of this spirit, and that was the Holy Spirit. It was God's spirit that was giving Elijah the power to do these miracles. He says, if you see me, not if you get my mantle, you know, not if I hand you this thing I've been carrying. He says, if you see me, and Elisha saw him, and because he saw him, he was anointed and he received a double portion of the Spirit. So I'm going to show you what that anointing, how that God actually represented that anointing here. In these two biblical accounts, one of Elijah leaving, one of Jesus leaving, there's a very clear picture of the anointing. And the anointing is what separates Elijah from Elisha. And the anointing is what separates Jesus from his followers. Why Jesus had to leave, why Elijah had to leave. And so I'm going to read it in this passage real fast. It says, and they were, as they were going along and talking, behold, there appeared a chariot of fire and horses of fire, which separated the two of them. So here's the thing. Jesus said, if I do not go away, then the Spirit will not come to you. He said, it's better if I go away. Even though the disciples were sad that he was leaving, he says, it's better that I go away, because if I don't go away, the Spirit won't come to you. So what was separating Jesus and the disciples? It was the anointing. It was the Spirit. He said, I got to go so that you can receive this Spirit. That's why we're being separated right now. The chariots of fire and the horses of fire, basically this wall of fire separates Elijah from Elisha. The anointing is represented by the fire, not by the mantle. And we see that on the day of Pentecost so clearly, that when the Holy Spirit comes, shows up, he shows up as tongues of fire. And here is the main point I want to make based on this metaphor in scripture, based on this parallel, is that if we are picking up the mantle, but we're not receiving the anointing, then we're going to be working in our own power. We're going to be trying to, you know, Jesus, he gave his disciples the Great Commission when he ascended into heaven. But here's the thing. Some of us, we showed up to see him ascend, and we heard the Great Commission. We've taken on the mantle, but we missed out on the day of Pentecost. For some reason, we didn't show up. And this is just a metaphor I'm using. You know, I'm speaking metaphorically here. We're carrying around this position of leadership, or this responsibility on our shoulders, but we're not carrying the same spirit in which Jesus walked.
This is Troy Black. I pray the Lord is speaking to you through this podcast. We'll get back to the message in a second, but I want to take a minute to tell you about how you can support this ministry. I'm able to create videos, books, podcasts, and other materials because of faithful supporters who value my content and who want to help me share the gospel with as many people as possible. All I ask is that you would pray about becoming a part of the work we're doing. Learn more by going to troyblackvideos.com. I hope you're blessed as you continue listening.
The same way that Elijah says, he tells Elisha to ask. He says, ask for whatever you want me to do for you. What can I do for you before I go? Jesus told his disciples, he told his followers, he told us to ask for the Holy Spirit. He said, ask and you shall receive. He said, how much more will you, though you're evil, give good gifts to your children? And then he says, won't my Father who is in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask? God gives his children good gifts. And one of the things he wants to give us is an anointing of his Spirit, a, you know, quote unquote, double portion, if you will. So there are some of us in this camp where we're picking up this mantle. We're trying to do what God has asked us to do in Scripture. We're trying to be obedient, but we've got this mantle, but we are not carrying the anointing that God wants us to carry. And then there's others of us on the other side. We are seeking the things of the Spirit. We're seeking a spiritual experience with God, but we are not willing to pick up the mantle that He wants us to pick up. But the truth is, we need both. We need the mantle and the anointing. Well, we need the Great Commission, but we also need the Spirit inside of us to empower us to fulfill the Great Commission. This is something we need as believers. It's not something that is optional if we want to live a victorious Christian walk. And some of the things the Holy Spirit does for us in Scripture are, the Bible talks about how the Holy Spirit pours out the love of God in our hearts. Don't we need God's love if we're going to be sharing that love with others? Jesus also talks about how the Holy Spirit will teach us all things. Man, the Bible is there's a lot of knowledge here, a lot of information. But if we are going to accurately process and interpret and even share the wisdom and the knowledge that are found in the Bible, we need the Holy Spirit to be teaching us. Another thing the Holy Spirit does for us is it says, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom or liberty. Man, if we don't want to walk around bound, you know, by the law and by the works of man and by even our own consciences sometimes, we need the Holy Spirit to tell us what is right and what is wrong. We need Him to tell us when it's okay to just be okay in God's presence, when it's okay to just enjoy Jesus and enjoy God and enjoy worshiping Him and following Him, and when it's time to sit down and get to work, when it's time to say, okay, now is the time to harvest. Now is the opportunity to spread the gospel, to get this person saved. Now is the time to put my hands to work. And then at other times, now is the time to rest and to enjoy the things God has given me. And then one more thing that Jesus says, He says, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And He is talking specifically about the day of Pentecost, but He also, that promise is also for us now. When the Holy Spirit comes upon us, we're going to receive the same thing, power from God to do the works of God, to do mighty works for God. And sometimes, you know, that term mighty works can get, we can put it in a box. Sometimes we think, well, if mighty works are the things that they always look like miracles, or they always look like, you know, healing people or something like that. But mighty works from God are just the things that God wants us to be doing, because those are the things that are going to be the most fruitful. You know, I think a lot of us have this list of things that if we really were going to be mature, you know, on fire for Christ, Christians, we would be doing all these things. But that list, we can push those aside and say, God, what does your list look like? What do you want me to be doing? And what I found is most of the time, God, He does not overburden us. He, you know, His burden is light and easy. God gives us one thing at a time, one step at a time. And He says, okay, now do this. Okay, now do this. And sometimes, yeah, He gives us visions for what the future is going to look like. But He doesn't put the weight and the responsibility on our shoulders. I think a lot of us are carrying a much heavier mantle than we were meant to carry. God wants to carry that mantle for you. And for Him to be able to do that, you need a fresh anointing of His Spirit. So I'm almost done, but I want to leave you with two amazing verses. And then I want to pray with you. The first one is Zechariah 2:5. It says, "For I, declares the Lord, will be a wall of fire around her, and I will be the glory in her midst." And this verse is amazing. And we can actually, this is talking about God's people, but we can actually apply it to the body of Christ today. You and me, those who know Jesus Christ. God wants to be a wall of fire around us. He wants to be the glory in our midst. Not just the glory we're looking forward to in eternity. He wants to be the glory that we're carrying with us every day. The second verse is actually John the Baptist talking. It's Matthew 3:11, and it says, "As for me, I baptize you with water for repentance, but He who is coming after me is mightier than I, and I am not fit to remove His sandals. He," talking about Jesus, "will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire." So if you're listening to me today and you're saying, man, I want to receive a fresh anointing. I want to be carrying the Holy Spirit with me everywhere I go. I want the presence of God to be manifest in my life. I want to see God use me for great things, big things and little things. I want to be listening to His voice. I just want you to pray with me right now. And I'm just going to pray a very simple prayer. But I believe with all my heart that God hears us when we cry out to Him, especially if we know Him through Jesus Christ. If we're His children, God wants to give His kids good gifts. pray with me if you know you need this. Lord Jesus, I know that you died on the cross for my sins. I believe that you were fully man and fully God because of what you've done for me, and because you rose again and you ascended into heaven and you're seated at the right hand of God. Now I get to come boldly before the throne room of grace, and I get to ask and receive according to your will. And you said, ask and receive. You said, seek and you will find, talking about the Holy Spirit. So I just ask right now that every person listening to me, to my voice, and including myself, Lord, that you would just fill us fresh with your Holy Spirit, that maybe in this moment, or maybe tonight, or maybe tomorrow when we're in prayer or reading your word or whenever it is, God, that you would fill us afresh this week, today, Lord, with your Holy Spirit, that you would begin to speak to our hearts, that you would begin to give us dreams and visions, that you would begin to put people on our minds, Lord, that you would begin to lead us, like your word says, that you would say, walk to the left or to the right, go this way or that, that we would be clear what it is you have for us to do, God, that it would be clear what it is for you, that you have for us to say, Lord, that we would not be walking in confusion or doubt or lies, but that you, Holy Spirit, would bring the word of God to our memory, that you, Holy Spirit, would empower us to do what Jesus did, to walk in the manner in which he walked. And I just declare your presence right now over those listening. I just declare the anointing of the Holy Spirit over those listening in power and through what Jesus has done for us through the gospel. And I just say, thank you, Father, for your Spirit. Thank you, Jesus. We don't know what it's going to look like, God, but we know you are anointing your people with the Holy Spirit and with fire. We know you've given us this task, God, and we can't do it without you. So I just say thank you for walking with us. Thank you for your fellowship. Thank you for your peace, God. Thank you for your love in our hearts, Lord Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen. So I really hope you enjoyed this video. I love being able to come to y'all and to bring you these words from the Lord, to bring you the messages he's put on my heart, and to hopefully encourage you and build you up in your faith. If you enjoy these messages, please pray about supporting this ministry. You can go to troyblackvideos.com to find a few ways that you can support the work that I'm doing through these videos, this podcast, and in a lot of different ways. I love y'all so much, and I'll see you next time.
You can connect with Troy Black on YouTube or Facebook. For more content from Troy Black, or to find out how you can support this ministry, visit troyblackvideos.com.